Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I don't like that sentence. I don't like the implications of it. It sounds weak. It sounds like you're a pushover. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for being here. To be honest with you, I was planning on coming to do this podcast, and I pulled into the driveway, and I heard my wife, Amber, screaming. But I knew the kind of scream that it was. It was something to do with an animal, and she was screaming, "Luna, Luna," and that's our German short hair. And I instantly knew what must be happening. Luna's collar went out. The battery ran out on her proximity collar, which gives her and Remy, our other German short hair, a beep when they start getting out of the proximity of the barn where they live. They have plenty of room to run, but they can't go a certain distance because we have chickens and the chickens roam free. So I instantly knew what was happening as Amber was yelling. The battery had gone out on Luna's collar and she was on a rampage chasing a chicken. So I started sprinting. This is like 15 minutes ago. I started sprinting. The chicken is fast, and Luna is a little bit faster. So between flying and running with these little chicken legs, Luna is just low to the ground, just full head of steam. And every time she gets the chicken, she's ripping feathers. I mean, she wants to kill. And so I am trying to get to either one. I'm trying to cut off this chase. And so as the chicken's running towards me, I try to cut it off, and the chicken's going between my legs, and then I'm grabbing Luna, but I'm missing her because she's so sleek and fast. And when she gets in a mood like this, she does not listen to any commands. She hasn't been trained in that way. She's a bird dog, and she hasn't been trained for that either. It's just instinctive in her. So this poor little chicken is getting feathers just ripped off, and finally I'm able to, as the chicken goes under me, I'm able to grab Luna as she's coming towards me. And I grab her and I flip her over in a position of dominance, and I pin her shoulders back to the ground, you know, in a position of dominance like dogs do to each other, and I'm pinning her shoulders back to the ground. I'm like, no. But I am dying inside because I'm so tired. I haven't made athletic moves like that in 10 years, sprinting and cutting, and who knows tomorrow what kind of soreness I'm going to have. So I'm holding her down, and Amber is going to get a new battery for her collar, and she puts the, you know, kind of gets the chickens out of the way, and she replaces the battery in the collar. And then as I'm handing Luna off to Amber, she's off again. She slips between my hand and Amber's hand as we're doing the trade-off, and now Luna is heading towards the entire flock of chickens at the coop. And she's just taking out chicken, whatever comes close to her. She's biting and ripping feathers. Chickens are running everywhere. So here I am sprinting again, this time on a gravel road, falling all over the gravel road as my shoes are slipping on the gravel, landing on my hands, landing on my elbows, just trying to grab Luna, finally get her again, get her situated back in the barn with the other dog, and made my way up here to do this podcast. So that is my mentality. That's my mindset going into this podcast. And I'll try my best to answer these questions now with my heart rate up and soreness impending on me tomorrow. I answer your questions. That's the format of this podcast. And you email me at podcast@grangersmith.com. podcast@grangersmith.com. Ask me anything about life, whatever you want. We'll walk through it. And I don't have all the right answers. I just have a biblical worldview. And I'll treat you as I would any other friend in the cab of a truck. First one comes from Jamie. And it says, "Hey, Granger, I loved the episode with you and Marv. It was really interesting to hear his perspective on things, and he seems like a really great guy." Yes, Marv is a great guy. She says, "My question is a follow-up regarding, should the husband and wife both work outside the home? I agree that a strong home life is quite possibly the most important thing for a child. That said, I am a firefighter, and my wife is in school to be a nurse." So now I'm seeing Jamie's actually a guy's name. "I know a lot of other couples in similar situations who are able to work opposing days and keep a parent at home at all times. We both feel called for a number of reasons to serve in this way, using the talents we were given. I'm curious your thoughts on situations such as this, where the wife isn't working just to pay for a lifestyle, but rather because she feels called to do so in a specific area. The dual income is more of a side effect and also helps pay back the needed student loans. Your podcast has changed my life completely, and I'm forever grateful. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't listened that very first time. Thanks, and God bless, Jamie." Hey, Jamie, thank you, buddy, very much. And I love your question because you articulated very well the situation, and you kind of cut me off at probably common questions that you thought I might ask. For instance, what's the reason both of you are working? And you're saying it's not financial. That's a perk. But it's because we both feel called in the specific area. And you also made it clear that it's possible, and you've seen it work, where other people do opposing work shifts so that there is a parent at home in all days. All times. And you also said, which I believe you said, a strong home life is quite possibly the most important thing for a child. I agree. And I appreciate your vulnerability opening up on something like this. And I want to walk through it with you because there's a couple things that I think we should discuss. And one, first of all, completely, you already did this, but for everyone listening here, I'm going to completely throw out the scenario of both parents absolutely have to work just to get by. Just to put food on the table for the kids, both parents have to work. And the dad is also working a few jobs. So that is not the case here. So don't, anything I'm about to say, don't say, "Granger, what if?" What if? Because that is not a what if in this situation, okay? Secondly, there is something biologically, emotionally nurturing, very different between a father and a mother. God made a father and the mother to co-inhabit a home because of that was the creation order. That's why he created the differences between the husband and the differences between the wife that translates into being a father and a mother in different ways. And children need both. Don't think right now that what I'm saying is it's not possible to raise kids in a single family household, single parent household. Don't think I'm saying that it's not possible to have a good upbringing with only one parent. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying ideally in creation, it was intended. Now, after the fall, a lot of the intentions are lost because of sin. But the intended creation was that a man and a woman would co-parent and each having very important attributes that they pass on to the child through parenting. And I don't have to get into science here to let anyone know that it's very evident what the father brings in different aspects to the table of parenting and what the mother brings. That being said, standing on that foundation, when the children are young, it is, in many ways, more valuable to have the mother raising the young ones full-time. If you had two parents co-parenting in a household, and you said, okay, with young kids, which one is better, the father or the mother? Historically, and I don't have to really twist your arm on this, and according to creation order anyway, the answer is the mother. That's why you get the term motherly instinct. That's why people that you know throw out terms like Mother Earth when they think of nurturing and balance and sensitivity and sympathy. You think of that is in terms of a mother, a hen, a mama hen, right? And that's not just humans. You see it throughout most of all of creation, through all the animal kingdom, right? So that's why I would make an argument against saying, well, we want to do the best we can, so the father is going to parent when the mother's on shift, and the mother's going to parent when the father's on shift. What I'm trying to say here is not that, hey, don't do that, that's bad. I'm trying to say that's not the way it's supposed to be. And when you go against the way it's supposed to be in our nature, then you're going to fight some battles. And there's going to be some casualties in that battle. There's going to be some sacrifices you have to make, and you're not going to be able to live up to the full potential of your nature if you fight against it in that way, right? Listen, this isn't like a dominance perspective or like a textbook way to say things without emotion. What I mean is your own conscience can attest to what I'm saying just by looking around you and how you interact with the world, how most likely you interacted with your mother and your father. It's how I interacted with my mother and father, and it's also how I interact with my kids now. I don't have the capability, I don't have the capacity to nurture my kids at the same level, in the same way as Amber does. Now, don't get me wrong, I have capabilities of doing things that Amber cannot. I have the ability I have the ability to enable long-term compassion. She has a better ability to enable short-term compassion. For instance, when Lincoln falls down and hurts and skins his knee, chasing a chicken, Amber has the capability in a really good way to have instant compassion on the situation. Let's clean this off. Let's get some hydrogen peroxide and let's get a Band-Aid. That's not where my mind goes. My mind goes, he's going to be fine. Brush it off. Get up. You're fine. And that's not because I don't care about his pain or his immediate compassion. What I do care about is him learning in the long run to be able to get up and go and shake things off, because life is going to come at you hard. And so I want him to be able to have a tolerance for pain so that he could press forward in this world. And that is long-term compassion. That is caring about his long-term well-being, as opposed to Amber, who cares more, and rightly so, for his short-term well-being. And she thinks less of get up, shake it off, you're going to be fine down the road. Amber and I both have the capability of dabbling in that. Of course I care now about his knee, and of course she cares about the long-term get up, shake it off. But I'm saying I care more about it in that area, and she cares more about it in that area. Does that make sense? And that's not something we develop, or that's not something that we've evolved into that we could now de-evolve from. It's just the way we're created. And so, let me hit something else on this to continue to answer your question. And the question is, to remind everybody, is it okay for both parents to work outside of the home with kids at home so that you could fulfill a calling that you have in a specific area. In this instance, service-based calling to help students, kids, or as far as Jamie's concerned, firefighting. So very honorable positions. That's what I'm trying to say on both of these instances. And so knowing that what you already know, that quite possibly the most important thing for a child is a strong home life. And I've already established that I believe in the created order, a strong home life must include, if possible, the mother staying at home, regardless of a call that the mother has in a specific area. Now, here's the beautiful thing about this. This is the beautiful thing. And I hope I've laid this all out in a fair way. The beautiful thing is, kids are at home for such a short time, such a short window. And I'm talking about infant to toddler to kindergarten. And once the lowest child hits kindergarten, the youngest child hits kindergarten, the mother all of a sudden is freed up during the day and has the ability to start dabbling in the calling of that specific area you referred to, Jamie. And then it's just a blink of an eye, a flash. When the last kid graduates high school, you have the rest of your life, which is the majority of your life. The minority of your life is raising kids at home. That is gone in an instant. And the rest of your life, a long time, Lord willing, the kids are gone. And then you are now free and clear without guilt to pursue that calling in the specific area. In this case, to be a teacher. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I believe, to answer your question, that's the right thing to do. To deny yourself and be self-sacrificing towards the children. I think that's the right thing to do as a mother. And I'll say for like the 10th time, I hope I built that scenario in not some kind of domineering way, but more towards showing the highlighted strengths of the mother and the father. And the father just doesn't have the strength, the talent, the ability to empathize compassionately in a way that is better than the mother at raising the children. And I'll tell you this, and last thing, certainly better than a daycare system of any kind. Somebody is going to raise your kids, regardless, whether it's a prison warden, or it's a school teacher, or it's a football coach, or it's a parent. Somebody is going to raise those kids. Don't you want it to be you? Or would you rather someone else raise them and you follow the calling you feel is on your life to be a teacher? The choice is yours, but I think that's a clear answer. Next question comes from Nathaniel. It says, "Hey Granger, I'm 16 years old and recently out of behavioral health residential treatment. I've been out for 3 months and I'm already drinking heavy, smoking nicotine, and watching porn constantly. I want help, but I don't feel like I could tell my parents because I don't want to go back to treatment." Yeah. Thanks for being honest, Nathaniel. And I want to tell you, first of all, that there is hope. You're never without hope. As long as you're breathing air on this planet, you have hope and a savior, and that is Jesus, to free you from the slavery of sin that you're in right now. It doesn't release you from being free of sin, but you're free from being a slave to it, where you can no longer make any other decisions but it, right? So after I say that, I will say too that I'm not totally into behavior health residential treatment centers. I'm not I'm not totally into that. And I do see failures all the time with that. Probably we're seeing something that connects to the first question with Nathaniel. If I was betting on the situation, which I'm not, but if I was going to wager on the situation, I would say something in that first question I just answered about parenting is involved in this second question with a failure of it. Most likely. Now, of course, there's situations where it's not, but and I think that also comes with the fear you have of telling your parents for fear that they will put you back in this treatment instead of taking it on themselves self-sacrificially, if that makes sense. Nathaniel, what you're doing here, drinking heavy, smoking nicotine, watching porn constantly, the drinking heavy thing is the only thing that can turn into alcoholism, which is detrimental. So nicotine could be quit and porn can be quit. Not to minimize those two things. They are both chemical addictions in a way. And we'll talk about that on an upcoming podcast exclusively. So stay tuned for that. But you're drinking heavy, smoking nicotine, watching porn. There is always a common denominator behind that, if you think about it. So those three things are very different from each other. But you can't try to tackle with a treatment facility each one specifically. Like, oh, we're gonna deal with alcohol. Now we're gonna deal with the nicotine addiction. Now we're gonna deal with the porn. They're so different. It would take different treatment facilities and different activities and therapy treatments to handle each one, unless you realize I think there's a common denominator. I think there's a common cause of this. And the common cause of all of them is the same common cause I have. And that's sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only answer to sin is the one who defeated it. And that is Jesus. The way this is laid out is through the Bible, the revealed word, telling us who he is and what he did for sin. Now, what I would say at this point is a good, faithful, healthy church is better in this instant than you going to a residential treatment facility and failing yet again. Going to a church and saying, show me what to do. I need help. If you went to a good, faithful, healthy church, you notice I had to articulate that because just like hospitals, there's good hospitals and bad hospitals. That doesn't mean when you see a bad doctor, it doesn't mean you stop trusting hospitals. It means you go to a good hospital with good doctors. And if you're doing that with a good church, with good pastors, and you wholeheartedly come in and go, I need help. I'm 16. These are my problems. Show me what to do. And then, Nathaniel, you do it. You will be healed. That is, I don't take that lightly that I just said it that way. And I will never retract what I said in that way. If you go to a Bible-believing, good, faithful, healthy church with good pastors, and you tell them, I have this problem, and they give you solutions that are not, it's not a one and done. It's a walk. It's a continual walk. And you say, tell me what to do. They show you the walk. They say, imitate me. You follow them. You do what they say. You will be healed. And every month that goes by, every year that goes by, you'll become better and less reliant on those old things. That's it. I'm sorry, buddy, that you're in this situation to begin with.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So what's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Like, would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? I don't know your answer, but a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. No one on their deathbed looks back and says, I had too much time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make that a priority. You know, therapy could help you find what matters to you, so then you could do more of that. And that's what therapy did for Amber and I when we went after losing Riv. We were able to see what was triggering us, what was important to us, what was a priority to us, and then we were able to go back and use that. Less of the triggers, more of the priorities. This shouldn't just be for me and Amber. If you are thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out this brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. It's super convenient and no green couches. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Granger today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Granger. If you want to get a hold of me for any reason, have you thought about Cameo? Cameo allows you to reach out to me, send me a message or something you want me to say, like, hey, Granger, can you tell my brother John happy birthday for me? He's a fan. He listens to the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. And then I can get my phone out, turn my camera on, and do a selfie where it's like, what's up, John? I heard from your brother Mark, and I wanted to say happy birthday, man. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope to see you one of these days. Maybe whatever you want me to say. It's super easy, very convenient, and a great gift for someone that has everything, or a great last-minute gift if you haven't gotten them anything in the days tomorrow or today. Cameo.com/Granger Smith. That's how you find me. Cameo.com/Granger Smith. Next question comes from Bastion. It says, hey, Granger, my name is Bastion and I love your podcast and I really appreciate you helping so many people out. I have been a singer since high school and I sing country, but I've always had trouble writing the melody and the chord progressions. I've got a bunch of lyrics, but I don't know where to go from here. And I would really appreciate any advice on how to overcome this issue. Again, love the podcast. Take care, Bastion. Hey, Bastion, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much for emailing. And your question is, you write lyrics. I'm telling myself this as I recap it. I don't read these questions beforehand, y'all. You've had trouble writing melody and chord progressions, but you're a lyricist. Well, first of all, some people are just lyricists, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're a poet. And there are other people that only write melodies, and they're just not great lyricists. Because you can write a chord progression in your head. You could sing something, but maybe you're just not happy with the way it comes out. And there are people that do really good melodies, but not really happy with the way they do lyrics. So my first encouragement is to find those people. Find your match. Find the person that does melody. And you'll have some great songs that way. And then secondly, I would encourage you to learn an instrument. And learn it. If you say, I do know guitar or piano, I would say learn it better. The more you know your way around a piano or a guitar, the more naturally you're going to feel and hear melodies, and the easier it is at that point to put your lyrics on top of it. So either get together with someone that writes melody and you write lyrics, or start advancing through practice, you playing piano and guitar. Next question comes from Anonymous. It says, Mr. Smith, my wife and I are in the middle of a divorce and we're not at all together. It's been rough. I found myself in a very dark place and in a bad rut. I knew my options were that, the divorce, or possibly another attempt at suicide. I'm grateful to survive one. But while this was all going on, and it seems like all my life is in a dark cloud, I met a woman who likes me. She didn't know the story or anything. She just thought I was genuine. She makes me happy. She treats me like a man and is super supportive. She has a son just like me. She's an awesome mom and someone who shares faith in God like I do. My ex-wife didn't at all believe in any of that. My question is, am I a bad guy for already finding someone? I didn't expect any of this. It happened so random. Thank you for your time, Granger. Okay, Anonymous. Bad divorce. There is a kid involved. We learned that from the second paragraph. But your main question is, should I feel guilty for finding someone so soon after such a bad experience with the first one? So I would say, first of all, no, you're not a bad guy for doing that. You're a bad guy because you're a sinner like me. And that's the inherent problem that we answered a few questions ago. So we have to know what the common denominator is and why we're bad. That's the first thing we need to know. We're not bad because of an action or a decision. We're bad way before that. We have corrupt hearts. That's the problem. And we need new hearts. I don't believe you. Anonymous, I don't believe you that you are a man of God. And I say that because you said she's an awesome mom and someone who shares faith in God like I do. I don't believe in your faith in God. And the reason I say it is because of the way you approached suicide with no trust in any kind of good plan. That's not a judgment on you. That's simply an acknowledgement that I don't believe you're there yet. Let me put it that way. That doesn't mean you're out of the race. I don't believe you've really opened the door to think about what faith in God actually means. I think you just say it because that's what we say in America. You say, yeah, man, God first, family second, job third. We certainly don't live that way, and I don't think we really even believe it until our eyes are opened to it. So that's my first challenge to you, is what does that mean to have faith in God and live that out? That's my challenge to you. But that's not your question. That's just something I'm talking about here, something I'm noticing with your email. Yes, there is a danger. I believe you think there's a danger, and I'm going to agree with you, although you didn't say it. I think the reason you emailed me is because not a lot of time has gone by, and you're starting to wonder, is it too soon? Am I rebounding? Am I just going to this girl because she's saying the right things, am I just going from one problem into another potential problem? I don't think you would have emailed me unless you thought that deep down, because I think if enough time had gone by and you had truly healed and you met a wonderful woman, then I think you wouldn't email me. You'd be like, this is great. No one needs to tell me good or bad. She's great. And I've healed. And I'm going to make her happy. And I'm going to serve her. And she's going to serve me. This is great. But that's not the case. I believe you're emailing me because you haven't healed yet. And since that's the case, I'm going to say, I think there's a danger here of you repeating. I think there's a danger with you not being out of the dark place and bad rut that you talked about earlier. And there is a way out of a dark place and a bad rut that I personally have been in myself. And that's through redemption of a savior and not through a cute girl that says some really nice things about me. So yeah, I would say be careful. Let me go straight to your question. My question is, am I a bad guy for already finding someone? You're not a bad guy for already finding someone. You were bad before that, same as me. But it is probably unwise that you're in a relationship this soon. And so practically speaking, guard your heart, pump the brakes, don't move in with her. Be very careful to not get her son too attached to you and your son attached to her. Let some time go by so that you can have the appropriate time to heal. And then plant yourself in a good Bible-believing church with people around you, brothers and sisters around you that could lift you up and encourage you and attest to you, hey, we love this girl, Anonymous. We love this girl you're with, and we think she's great. Or, hey, we think it's a little too soon for you to be in a relationship. And we would advise you to slow this down a little bit. So that way you don't have to email this podcast. And that's for any question anyone has. I would advise, if you're in a good Bible-believing church with members of the church that support and encourage you and love you, then you don't need this podcast at all.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Next question comes from Eli. It says, hey, Granger, I'm a longtime listener and love your book, Like a River. I'm 24 from Whitesville, Kentucky. I'm a volunteer firefighter, EMT, and a pipe fitter. My wife of 3 months walked out on me February of 2024. Little backstory, we met and started dating back in August of 2023. And I got married in November and had the usual arguments about money, but for the most part, our relationship was good and full of love. I'm messaging you because I need some advice, because she is 20 weeks pregnant as of March 7th, and I've been gone for a month now. I haven't gotten much of an explanation for her leaving, other than she doesn't want to be married anymore and she doesn't even want to talk to me. I prayed about it, and recently she's back with her ex that she dated before me. I don't know what to do now and or how I'm going to be a good father with a child that's growing up in two households. I appreciate the advice. All right, Eli, let's dive into this. Thanks for emailing, buddy. Man, that's a quick turnaround. You started dating. You met in August of 23. You married in November of 23. What? Just a few months between meeting and marriage. And then you divorced in February of 24. I'm not sure, Eli, I'm not sure how this happened or why this happened or where your buddies are or your family that allowed this to happen. But back to the question before this, where we need to be surrounded by solid character people that we can give, we could ask advice from, they could lift us up, they can encourage. I just said the same thing last question. If you don't do this, then, and I'm speaking to anyone, not you, Eli, I'm speaking to everyone. If you don't do this, you have a huge likelihood of being deceived. If you don't have people around you that are clear thinking, good character, good integrity, if you're not surrounding yourself by that, then you have full rein against anyone that might come and take you off the rails and you are being deceived. That's just it. That's definitely what happened here. You were deceived and there was no one around you, I'm assuming, or you just didn't listen to anybody, but I'm assuming there weren't people around you that walked you through this and counseled you against marrying this person within 2 months of or August, September, October, November, but 3 months of meeting her and then divorced 3 months after that. You met, married and divorced in a 6 month period. There's nothing wise about that. On any of those three turns. And now she's pregnant. And so after all that commentary, the only card you have left to play in this scenario is to be a good father to that child. And the only way practically to be a good father to that child is to be in a close proximity. By the way, the whole thing, hey, I don't want to be married anymore, and then she's back with the ex, that's so normal. That's so predictable. She didn't just wake up and say, I don't want to be married. She already had her eye on someone else that was sweet-talking her. So now you've got this baby coming. You got to stay close to the baby. The only way to be a good father is to be there for the child, to be involved, to be active, to live just down the road, to be the one that takes them to school and volleyball and soccer practice and all the things. Church. You got to do that. So that's the only card you have left to play. And let me just say again, like I've probably said the last four questions, and then join a good, solid, faithful church. Next question comes from Anonymous again. And this one says, after my husband went on a men's encounter, he came back and confessed he had been doing porn and sometimes he would secretly drink while driving home from work. I accepted this like a Christian wife should. No nagging. Now, a year later, I've been smelling alcohol on his breath occasionally. What do I do? Drinking and driving is not okay. Do I continue praying or confront? He will most likely deny it. He serves regularly in the church and is respected. That's a key thing here. He serves regularly in the church and is respected. Remember that thing I said earlier about doctors? when there's one bad doctor, it doesn't mean you stop going to hospitals. You just have to recognize the bad doctor. So here we go. I've been preaching, let's get involved with church. And here we got a guy that is involved, that is well-respected within the church, and he has a major problem, most likely hiding alcoholism. So let's dive in. The first thing I want to say is, I don't like the sentence, I accepted this like a Christian wife should, no nagging. I don't like that sentence. I don't like the implications of it. It sounds weak. It sounds like you're a pushover. It sounds like you're carrying some title where you're just supposed to appease the husband and that's it. And I don't even like the word accepting. I would take forgive. I forgave him, right? But with that, and it's good that he came and he confessed this stuff to you. And it's good that you didn't just leave him. So I like that. But what I want is he comes and confesses this and you say, I forgive you. But let me walk with you now. Now that you've opened the door up to these secret sins, let me walk with you so that we could walk together in the light. Lean on me. This is what a good marriage should be. And I'm not saying you don't have one or that you're not capable of it. I'm saying, look, this is what a good marriage should be. Two people that lean on each other. The good and the bad times, completely open. And I like that you say, I'm not nagging. And that should open up an opportunity for him to say, oh, babe, I'm having a craving. I'm having a craving to go and buy some alcohol. And you say, good, thank you for telling me. Let's work through this together. Let's replace this with something positive. Let me help you walk through this together. Okay? That's the way that I wanted that scenario to work out. It didn't. And that's why I say I don't like the sentence. I accepted this like a Christian wife should, no nagging. That's why I don't like it. Because that implies you agree to brush it under the rug and forget about it. And you're being good by just not nagging. And I want you to nag. Not in a bad, naggy way, but I want you to I want you to be able to say, are you good? Are you good? Are you good? So there's a difference in saying, I know you're going to mess up again. Oh, I should have known you're going to mess this all up for us and our family. There's a difference between that and there's a difference in you saying, hey, are you good? You stayed up late last night. You didn't come to bed till after I was asleep. Are you good? I saw your phone was out on the cabinet in the kitchen and it wasn't plugged in. I'm assuming you're up late with your phone. Are you good? Hey, I noticed the garage went up last night and you left. Are you good? Are you good? Can I help you? How can I encourage you? That's not nagging. That's persistence. There's a difference between the two. Right? I know you left last night. I know you're probably drinking. That would be bad. Don't do that. How can I help you? Are you good? Let me help you. That's good. Okay? Now, that's the past. Now here's the present. You have been smelling alcohol on his breath occasionally. Drinking and driving is not okay. Do I continue praying or confront? Well, first of all, there doesn't have to be one or the other. Do I continue praying or do I confront? You don't have to choose. You're always going to continue praying for your husband. Wives, pray for your husbands. Please, wives, pray for your husbands. Please, don't stop. Even when they're doing good, wives, don't forget to pray for your husbands. Now, do you confront? Absolutely. But there's a way to confront without tearing into him. Without belittling him. Look, babe, you've had a lot going on at work. I want you to know, I want to continue to be here for you. And you remember that thing you told me you confessed a year ago or so? Remember when you said that and I told you I wanted to be here for you? I still do. Yeah. But I also want to tell you, I feel like I've been smelling alcohol in your breath. And I'm not going to judge you for that. I'm just going to say, I want to walk through this with you. Let's bring this to the light so that nothing worse happens. Okay, so that's what I want you to do. That's the confrontation I'd like to see. And then something else. And this is the part you don't want. This is the part you don't want to do, but I'm going to tell you, you got to go to the church. Because if he is serving the church, they have to know. The hospital has to know about the sick doctor. You can't continue to let this go. There are things at stake here that are very important. So you confront him first. He's in the family. You tell him this. If he says, yes, I need help, let's do it. Great, you work through it. If he denies it, like you said he might, if he denies it, you say, I'm here for you. I want to be here for you. And you have to go to the church. You say, yo, listen, I want to speak to the pastor. And you, and here's another thing. So that this doesn't get bad for you, you should never meet in private with the pastor. Women, don't meet in private with the pastor. Especially telling problems about your husband. Don't do that. That's bad. So you want to have a council. The wife comes in with a council of pastors. And maybe even the pastor's wives are there too. So that this doesn't turn into something worse for you, right? That's a protection mechanism. And you say, I love my husband. I love this church. I fear that he's drinking again. And I don't think it's good to have a man that's drinking in private, possibly dealing with alcoholism, possibly dealing with porn, most likely drinking and driving, serving the church, and being respected. Something has to give before something worse happens. And on that path, anonymous, something worse will happen. Unless you do this right now. You guys, we walked through some tough things on this podcast. And I want you to know, as I say a lot, that I, by no means am I sitting here in this chair, this blue chair with a microphone, saying I'm right about this. I am right about this. Do this. I'm right. That's not what I'm saying. The whole format of this podcast is, if we were friends, this is what I would tell you. If you came to me with the different issues that we got on this podcast today, this is what I would tell you. This is how I would lead you. And they're usually more complicated because I don't know your reaction to it and I don't know the rest of the story. So in a real life scenario, not that these aren't, but if I was really dealing with you, I would know more about it. And we would wrestle through this together with the Bible, with scripture right in front of us. But we don't. And so I'm making quick comments on very difficult questions. And that's why I say, I don't want to stand here and say, I'm right about all of these. I want to say, with humility, we have to trust in the Lord. We have to give our hearts to the Lord. We have to run to our Savior. We have to realize we are sinners. All have fallen short. And we will not ever be able to bring glory to God or gain favor with God apart from the finished work of Jesus and what he did on the cross as a substitute for us, taking on the punishment that we deserved so that he who knew no sin could become sin so we could become the righteousness of God. We'll see y'all next Monday. Yee-yee. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. Yee-yee.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship. With thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.